Bible tells us that true love suffers long and is kind. True love endures. That kind of love is impossible without the power of the Holy Spirit living in our lives. Elizabeth Elliot has experienced great loss, but her message continues to focus on the love that triumphs in the face of evil.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking again today about welcoming a little child. I was reading a letter yesterday from a woman who had two handicapped sons. They had a disease which was hereditary, and how angry she was with God, and yet how the Lord drew her back to Himself and taught her to trust Him for what seemed to her a severe mercy. I go on to read from her letter. She says, "To the woman who is unhappily pregnant, I would say the eternal God is our refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Try to rest in Him. Don't fight the potter's hand so vehemently as I did. Look for His love. It's all around you. It's still there. It may be a very difficult road you walk, but try to see beyond this week and this year. Try to rest in Him now. He has wonderful things in your future. Sam is now 6 years old. Ruth is 9, and Paul is 11. It's difficult to look into his mischievous little face without smiling, and I feel like we never could have gotten along without him. Paul and Sam receive growth hormone injections at home and are both about normal height for their age. I just had to tell this story. Such pain ended in much happiness and peace in our family. But God was always there. His love never wavered. I only thought it had because I was judging it by the circumstances. I know now His love never fails." And that reminds me of the hymn that says, "Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust Him for His grace. Behind a frowning providence, He hides a smiling face." And this quotation from John Newton, you remember that John Newton was once in the slave business, trafficking in slaves, and he became a Christian. And he wrote this, "We have not yet attained. We still feel the infirmities of a fallen nature. Through the remains of ignorance and unbelief, we often mistake the Lord's dealing with us and are ready to complain, when if we knew all, we should rather rejoice. But to us likewise, there is a time coming when our warfare shall be accomplished, our views enlarged, and our light increased. Then, with what transports of adoration and love shall we look back upon the way which the Lord led us. We shall then see and acknowledge that mercy and goodness directed every step. We shall see that what our ignorance once called adversities and evils were in reality blessings, which we could not have done well without. That nothing befell us without a cause, that no trouble came upon us sooner or pressed on us more heavily or continued longer than our case required. In a word, that our many afflictions were each in their place among the means employed by divine grace and wisdom to bring us to the possession of that exceeding and eternal weight of glory which the Lord has prepared for His people." Another letter. This woman found herself pregnant. She had had a number of illnesses and bleeding episodes. She was diagnosed finally as in good health. But she says, "I was hoping that my third son would have been a girl and was greatly disappointed. But I did resolve it and on good days even prayed that perhaps one day God would bless us with a daughter. I say good because three boys are often a great deal of work. I made a point to teach my young sons God's word, attend Sunday school, and have at least one Christian friend. I prayed diligently for them that God would protect them and that they would always live lives honorable to Him. Now, the problem. I am pregnant, and it was a mistake. It shouldn't have happened, As I said, I did resolve my ideas of having a daughter. I don't want another child. I'm overwhelmed already. In my prayers, I did concede to God that I was overwhelmed and left my future to Him. I always thought that God was ultimately in control of the details of our lives, even the seemingly insignificant things like where we live, who we meet, etc. I used those opportunities to pray for those around me. Now I feel so defeated and betrayed by my foolish and simplistic ideas. I'm so depressed over this pregnancy. It shouldn't have happened. I even went to see a physician who would perform an abortion, which I scheduled 3 different times but couldn't bring myself to go through with. I was afraid to be disobedient to God. I keep praying for a miscarriage. I just can't imagine going through this. It has been like a nightmare. I feel like I just can't do it. I'm desperate to know God better, to understand how He fits into this mess. I've stopped going to church. I feel betrayed by God. I have faithful Christian friends who are praying for me and with me, but nothing seems to be happening. Well, I would put a parenthesis in there and say, yes, much is happening if people are praying. I have foolishly attributed too much responsibility to God. What do we say to one who is so desperate and feeling so angry and upset about the fact that she is pregnant? What can I say except to point you once again to the love of God, to the fact that His arms are always underneath. He has never made a mistake, and life is completely in His control. Receive the child as a gift. Ask God to teach you to perceive His mercy and His love and His wisdom. I believe that in time, this mother is going to be very grateful for the child that God has given her. And of course, she is in our prayers that God will give her peace. My mother told me of the grief of having a miscarriage. After my brother was born, the oldest one, mother had a miscarriage. And not very long after that, she became pregnant, and the baby that she bore was I. Mother said many times in the years since she had thought about the fact that if she had had the child that was miscarried, she would not have had me. God does know what He's doing. Another letter. It's very difficult to grieve the loss of a child in a society that will barely recognize that your baby was a real person. And this letter is from a woman who has just had a miscarriage. I miss him. My arms are empty. There is real pain here and suffering. You are very busy, I know. It would mean so much to me if you could let me know if you have already done a tape series on miscarriages or grief from death. Well, many times on this program we have talked about grief, haven't we? Probably we have talked about miscarriages. And I was with my daughter Val when she had a miscarriage at 4 months. I was privileged to hold that tiny little baby in my hand, and it was a baby, not a fetus, all its parts perfectly formed. It was a little girl, and Valerie and her children named her Joy. And it happened to be just at Christmas time, and the children hung up a tiny little stocking along with theirs on the mantelpiece with Joy's name on it. There's great joy and great sorrow in this matter of bearing children or not bearing children. The joy is that of those who deeply desire a child. The sorrow comes if it is lost. Then there are those who were devastated to discover their pregnancy and relieved when they miscarried. I'll never forget my brother calling me sobbing on the phone to tell me that it appeared that his wife was losing a baby. She didn't lose the baby. That little baby weighed a little over 2 pounds at birth. Well, he's now a strapping 23 or 24-year-old. All is grace. The faithful Christian gladly receives, willingly relinquishes, and learns to see God in everything, as John Newton said. What in our ignorance we once called adversities and evils were in reality blessings, which we could not well have done without. Nothing has befallen us without a cause. No trouble comes upon us sooner or presses on us more heavily or is continued longer than our case requires. What is it that God is up to? He's making saints. God is in the business of making saints. Will you love him? Will you trust him? Will you praise him? A beautiful letter from Christine Ewing. I will read part of it today and part tomorrow. She says, "Thank you for talking about unwanted pregnancies. I thought I was alone in my struggle. Surely every other married Christian woman wants their pregnancy. But at age 39, with no medical insurance, in debt, unstable work conditions, and one stepson yet to raise, I felt devastated when I discovered I was pregnant. All these years I had never been pregnant. Just when I thought we could start paying off some of the debt which has horrendous interest, just when I thought only one kid was left to feed and clothe and send to college, just when I thought," and then she breaks off, starts another paragraph and says, "my husband did not want me to keep the baby." We'll carry on from there tomorrow in my talks on welcoming a child.
Anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.